is an exclusive.
Hey, it's Stuart McKelvey, and you're listening to Why to How, a podcast where we explore adventures in STEM. On today's episode, I'm joined by the wonderful Stella Bowles, a CWSF 2017 and 18 alumni, who was recently awarded the Order of Nova Scotia for her commitment to cleaning up the La Have River. Her 2017 Science Fair project garnered quite some attention on social media, influencing three levels of government and prompting a $15.7 million action plan to clean up her local river. She's been awarded numerous conservation and environmental awards for her work, been recognised as an emerging environmental leader, and even travelled to Ecuador as a member of the Canadian Youth Ambassador Program. Having spoken at multiple TEDx events, moderated various virtual webinars, and even written a book called My River, Cleaning Up the La Have River with author Anne Laurel Carter, needless to say, I'm very excited for today's conversation. So Stella, welcome to the podcast, and might I say on behalf of Youth Science Canada, a massive congratulations on your Order of Nova Scotia Award.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
It truly is.
On the call, yeah.
It's an amazing achievement, especially as you are the youngest recipient to ever receive the award, if I am correct.
Yeah, you are correct. Being the youngest receiving this award is, I'm still speechless. It's been a while now knowing it, and it's just, I can't find the words to describe how honored and excited, and yeah, it's hard to find words to explain.
Yeah, I mean, I think your smile says everything we need to know. Yeah, you're very happy for it.
Thank you.
So, shall we get started?
Yeah, sounds good.
So, did you want to start us off by telling us where your love of science came from and what a magic pickle machine is?
Yeah, so my love for science has been pretty much since I was born. My dad's very sciencey, and we'd always do experiments like magic pickle machines. So if you plug the electrodes into a pickle, the light bulb will come on because you can conduct electricity through a pickle, which is really, really cool, especially if you're 5, 6, 7 years old, or even my dad's like 50 and he loves it too. So I mean, pickles can be fun too. I've always loved like shooting off rockets in the backyard and just almost anything science-y and environmentalist, like environmental and, yeah.
Nice. And so then I guess the obvious question is, where did the idea for your amazing science fair project come from?
Yeah, so it was actually kind of all an accident, but not really. It all stemmed from a question. So we live in a family home that we've lived, that's been in our family for about 180 years. So it's an older home, and my great-grandfather installed a septic system about 70 years ago, and it collapsed. So when it collapsed, we were told we had 3 months to fix it. And my mom at the dinner table was kind of upset because that's not a lot of time for such a huge amount of money, because there's a lot of money to get a septic system, but it's something you do if you own a home. And my mom at the dinner table, she was saying, well, this is a lot of money. And our neighbors, they don't have 3 months, but they have straight pipes that flush their sewage directly into the river. And I was like, Mom, what do you mean? What's a straight pipe? And she said, well, it's a pipe directly from a home's toilet right into the water. So if you're flushing toilet paper and so on, everything goes in the water. There's no filter. And I was completely appalled. I had so many questions that my parents just couldn't answer. So with being an 11-year-old, I didn't know how to stop asking questions. So I kept saying, well, we need to find an answer. What do you mean? Why are people doing this? So my parents kind of got fed up with all my questioning, and they brought me, or they got in contact with a local organization who deals with the waterways. They're called Coastal Action. And they led me to Dr. David Maxwell, who had been testing the water for many years before. And together we had some tea, and we were talking about how I could test the water. And then we thought, well, this could be a really cool science fair project. And after I had my results, I wanted to tell the world to get out of the water. We would drive down the river and see people swimming or dogs swimming, and I'd say, Mom, pull the car over. And she'd say, no, you can't do that. You can't tell people to get out of the water. And yeah, it all kind of just started from me asking my mom, well, what's a straight pipe?
I mean, that's a very noble cause to be following, especially as an 11-year-old. So congratulations and well done.
Thank you.
So yeah, as you said, you started when you were 11, so 2015, right, is when you first
Yes.
Had this idea if I started asking all of these questions. So I guess, firstly, what were some of the main challenges that you faced, especially being that young and taking on such an important community issue at only 11 years old?
Our whole community was really, really supportive in the sense that they all agreed that it's time for change to happen. Flushing your sewage into the water is not the best idea. It's not safe and it's really gross. So the community was overall really, really happy that something was going to be done. I think the only issue I really faced was my peers. I just didn't speak about my project with my friends. It was kind of I had my at-home life, and then I had my like sciencey at-home life, and then my school, just plain old Stella. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges. Another challenge would be when you do your testing, if the control were to come out with bacteria on it, so not everything was sterilized properly, and then you have to just do the whole process over again. So it's definitely a live and you learn kind of a situation.
Oh, absolutely. But as you say, you had the support and advice of quite an important mentor, so that definitely helped, right?
Yeah, Dr. Maxwell was a huge, huge component of this project. Mm-hmm. Without him, nothing would have been validated, and he definitely made the whole project come full circle.
That's so great. That's so wonderful to hear. And so do you think it's been 5 years now since you first started? Has your approach to science research changed over the years?
Yeah, I have. I still really love science. Yeah. I've been kind of trying to figure out what I want to do after high school, and I don't really know where I'm going to end up. Mm-hmm. I really love politics. I enjoy sciences. I love communicating with people. So I really have no idea where I'll end up after that.
Yeah. And what about how exactly you do the science, I guess? Like, as an 11-year-old kid, I guess you didn't know, you know, the technical side of the scientific method or anything, and now probably you're into a bit more of the long-form reporting. You know, how does that change from, you know, 11 to 16 years old as you start to learn more about maybe the more professional side of science, I guess it is, you know, the more literary side?
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot as an 11-year-old, mm-hmm. and I've always asked a lot of questions, and I think that's helped a lot with writing your report or whatnot. And all the testing was done right in my kitchen, so we didn't need a fancy laboratory. Yeah. It was just at-home science, and we grew fecal bacteria right in my basement, which I think is really fun to tell people when they come visit. Like, you want to see my incubator? But it was a really, really neat process to be able to take a sample of water, run it through a filter funnel, and then get results within 36 hours. And I really think that's so cool. And I think more people should be exposed to at-home science and having fun, because at school, science is portrayed as just a textbook, and you do question 1 to 9, and then you pass it in. But it can be so much more exciting and hands-on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think DIY science is, and bringing it into the home, is so wonderful. And as you say, like, it's so funny to be able to tell people who come to stay at your place, like, hey, come check this out, come check out my incubator, as long as they're not staying the night in the basement, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in our basement. Our basement's kind of house, so it's kind of scary.
Yeah, okay. And has your mindset changed as well over the last 5 years? Are you still that curious little kid who just won't stop asking questions?
Yeah, for sure. I ask questions about just about anything and everything. I'm definitely not shy to ask questions if I mm-hmm. am curious about something. And especially with the internet, you can find a lot. Or I have a lot of different sources, like Dr. Maxwell or mm-hmm. Professor Easy or other professors, the people I've met along the way. And it's really awesome to have those connections to be able to ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this project of yours took you all the way to Canada-wide Science Fair, which is awesome. And then you came back the next year with a slightly different project, still the same concept, but obviously revised, and a whole year later quite a bit more work had been done. So do you want to talk a little bit maybe about your experience at Canada-wide Science Fair and what that meant to you?
Yeah, for sure. I loved being at Canada-wide Science Fair. I talk so highly about it. I tell my friends, like, you need to do a project. It doesn't have to be anything like extravagant. You just need to go for the experience. Like, it's so amazing to meet like-minded youth who are excited about science as well. And just, it was an amazing, amazing opportunity to have so many connections. I've met so many people, even people that from my region, I just never really spoke to. And then with that, we all kind of came together and said, wow, I like this subject too. And Yeah, science fair was amazing. And then being able to travel as well to speak about something you're so passionate about was just incredible.
And so Canada-wide science fair for you was in Saskatchewan, right? That's quite a long way from Nova Scotia.
It was quite a long way, yeah. Saskatchewan was very flat. Everybody was telling me, yeah, it's flat, but it is very flat. It was really cool. Outings and stuff. We were in the back of a cattle trailer one day. Like, it isn't just standing at your posters all day. It's so much more. The experience is incredible. I never thought I'd be in the back of a cattle trailer.
No,
middle
I can't
of nowhere
imagine.
In Saskatchewan.
I'm sure your mom didn't either. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd send my mom pictures. Look what I did today. And it's really cool. It's incredible experiences.
And I think it's so great to hear Anne told us on the last episode and now you're hearing it from you as well that, you know, the best part about Canada-wide Science Fair, it's not actually the science fair projects themselves. Like, they're great, don't get me wrong, and everyone's absolutely amazing, but it's all about the connections you can make, you know, meeting your people, right? It's like meeting other kids that have the same sort of passion and interest as you and getting out of your comfort zone a little, getting to experience all these different things that you wouldn't normally do, like chilling in a cattle trailer, for example.
Exactly, yeah. And even, like, the dance after the award ceremony, everybody was just having the best time, and it was just so much fun.
Absolutely. So, moving on to the present day, 5 years later, where is your project now? Can you give us an update as to how's the river going? How's the cleanup going? We're 3 years into a six-year, $16 million project with the governments.
Yeah.
Are they on
track?
Yeah,
so it's going really well. So, there were 600 illegal straight pipes to start with in 2015. Now they're doing, they have 200 switched over to septic systems, which is really awesome. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping by 2023 to have them all replaced. So when I go to school in the morning, I'll see big concrete septic tanks on people's yards on their front lawn, and it's so exciting. I don't think there's many other 16-year-old girls who are really excited about septic systems, but it's really exciting because it means our future will be able to future generations will be able to swim in the river and not have to worry about getting sick. So I think it's incredible what our community has come together to create this plan.
Absolutely, that's so amazing. And are you still continuing to test the water? Is it was every month, right, for your science fair project? Is it still that regularly?
No, I haven't tested for a while now. I'm planning on doing it this summer, mm-hmm. just to see how having the 200 systems installed, seeing what that's done, if there's a difference yet, if it's noticeable. So I think giving it a bit of time before testing will really show if what the levels are. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about it too. I'm sure lots of people are excited to get a little update as to what's going on, especially because with the Order of Nova Scotia Award, you've definitely been thrust back into the spotlight once again. You never seem to be out of it for very long.
Yeah, that was really, sorry about that. Yeah, being put back in the spotlight with this award was very unexpected. I had no idea I was even nominated. And it was a complete shock. I didn't know I was going to be getting this award. I just came home from school. I was doing homework. And my mom was really secretive. She wasn't telling me what she was doing. She was in another room on the phone, kind of whispering. Then she told me to grab my phone because somebody important was going to call me. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea where to begin. And then this really kind lady told me that I was receiving this award, and I was floored. I was so speechless. I didn't know how to react. It was so uncalled for, but so incredible at the same time.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it was uncalled for. I think that what you've managed to achieve is something spectacular, that's for sure. And managing to get the government to do anything, let alone three levels of government to do anything, just shows the strength of commitment, and just shows, obviously, the passion that you've been able to inspire amongst the community. And to have a random stranger that you don't know nominate you as well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, that's for sure.
Yes, and I just sent her a Christmas card. I'm very excited to.
Nice.
She sent me a congratulations, and I sent her back a Christmas card. And I'm so thankful that she took the time to nominate me. It's a lot of work to send in a nomination, and she's just an incredible woman herself.
I think you both are incredible women, that's for sure. And
thank you.
Speaking of incredible, 2 years ago you traveled all the way to Ecuador as a Canadian youth ambassador, so that must have been one amazing experience.
Yeah, Ecuador was incredible. It was probably some of the best 10 days of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in the jungle with no Wi-Fi, people I've never met before, and no parents. So it was, I had cut off basically all connection to my regular knowing and comfort zones, and I was in the middle of nowhere in the jungle with like-minded youth, and it was incredible. I don't even know how to explain how amazing being in another country is. With it's so different there compared to here. Like, they have palm trees and tarantulas and big giant water snakes, and it was definitely a huge learning experience. And I was the youngest on the trip, mm-hmm. so or one of the youngest on the trip, so having older youth around me to be able to talk to and have really educated conversations about the environment or things that they're passionate about was just really nice as well.
And so, do you want to, for people that don't know what a Canadian Youth Ambassador is, you know, who are these amazing people? What are they doing? And what did you go to Ecuador to do, to learn?
Sure. Yeah, so I was a Canadian Youth Ambassador. So for that, we went to Ottawa, and we went to Parliament, and everybody, there were 30 mm-hmm. youth in this program that year, and we all went to Ottawa after our trip to Ecuador to speak to MPs and senators about our issues. Or everybody had their own topic. Not everything was environmental, but it was a group of very, very determined young people. And I definitely think that was very, very awesome to have us be able to go in and speak to people who, on such a high level, and have them really listen to us about our causes. And it was a really nice experience.
Yeah, I could imagine it would be. It's definitely something a normal, you know, young girl from Nova Scotia wouldn't ever expect to have to go through in their life, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I look back to all the things that have happened, and I never in a million years would think that I'd be here speaking to you or anywhere. I never thought I would go to Ecuador or go to Canada Wide Science Fair and win a medal. I mean, like, none of this was ever even imagined. So it's like a dream come true that wasn't even a dream.
Yeah, you just wanted to jump in your river, right?
It's amazing. Yeah, I'd love to just run right in and cannonball.
Yeah, and
splash around.
And like, and now you even have a book written about you from the incredible author Anne Laurel Carter, and it's in the provincial curriculum for Year 7 students, that's unheard of. That's unreal.
Yeah, I'm Anne Laurel Carter. She's so amazing. She wrote such an amazing book. It's written from my perspective, and she wrote it over Zoom, which is even more fascinating because she lives in Toronto and I'm in Nova mm-hmm. Scotia. So with having that distance, she'd call me and say, how would you word this? Or how should I do this? And it really came together as such a lovely little book. And having it in all grade 7 classrooms in Nova Scotia is also so incredible. I hope it inspires more youth to take on causes that they're passionate about.
And so when you say it's in the curriculum, what are they hoping to teach Year 7 students by reading your book?
Yeah, so it's in the curriculum as part of the empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So yeah, just trying to empower youth to get more involved in some of the local issues and environmentalism, political issues, just all the above.
Yeah, definitely, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure with all of this stardom and schooling and River Cleanup Project, media attention, conferences, public speaking, podcasts, how do you make sure you've got a balance in life and make time for life, hobbies, social life, hockey, everything else that you, video games, all your other interests and hobbies?
I don't know. It's just a lot of planning, but at the same time, it comes and goes in waves. So sometimes I'll have 2-3 calls in a week. Sometimes I'll have none, or maybe more or less. So it's all depends on what's going on in the world. And if I have hockey practice, I won't attend a call unless it's very important. Yeah. You know, if I have a game. So I keep that balance. I have my time with my friends as well as my fun science.
Do you have tips for motivation for any of the students listening that are, I mean, especially this year, like, it's been a tough year just to stay motivated, especially when everything's online. It's so much easier just to spend time on your phone. Like, what advice do you have for people to stay motivated and keep at it?
I definitely encourage everyone to ask mm-hmm. questions, even if they sound a little silly. I fully just think that you should go ahead and ask your questions and find a mentor. I think another huge component of being successful in a project is having a mentor, somebody who you can ask your questions to, somebody who can overlook your work, and just having a mentor is so important.
Yeah, and was there anything in particular that you did to help yourself find a mentor? How did you go about that process of finding someone to answer the questions that you couldn't find answers to?
With all my questions towards my parents that they couldn't answer, they got in contact with Coastal Action, which is a local organization for the environment, and then they led me to Dr. David Maxwell. So through that, it was kind of a process, but it worked out really well.
Yeah, so just find an organization or a sort of a key person that's in the field that you're asking all these questions about. You use the networks of your parents, your friends, your peers, your friends' parents.
Your teachers, anyone, your science teachers or whatever topic your issue is, anyone older with more experience can give you some help.
Absolutely. And I'm sure the whole part that you had earlier about, there being like a school stellar and a science stellar, does that still exist? Are you still quite segregated as well?
Yeah, it's still pretty much the same. Now I have a different group of friends and they'll ask me like, how's it going? Which I really, really appreciate. It's less divided, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. And I imagine going to something like the Canada-wide Science Fair, for example, and then Ecuador as well, obviously, showed you that there were other kids like you out there, and that had a passion for science and for environmentalism and, getting involved in politics. It must have been so relieving to have finally felt like you'd met your people.
Exactly. And those are pretty much the words I used when I was talking to EF Tours about my Ecuador trip, is that I found my people. I found people that were so involved in sciences or the environment, and they had so much passion. And I really, really just admire the stride people have for creating change.
Yeah, and I don't know if you felt this too, but you just seem to connect so much quicker and on such a deeper level with these sort of people than you do maybe just like your friends that you just happen to go to school with or play hockey with, for example.
Yeah, everyone has different interests, so I find it's hard to find people who have the same interests, especially in the same school in the same little town. So
just
being able to explore, if everyone had the chance to explore and find people with the same interests, whether it's a sport or a school topic or really anything, I think that would make everyone really realize that there's so much more than a little town.
Yeah, and that segues quite nicely into what I want to ask next, and that's your mum actually was quoted in an article on how to help kid activists cope with the emotions of backlash, especially on something like social media, which is a great article, by the way, that everyone should definitely read, especially parents of incredible children like you. And she said that socially as a kid it's been tough, and that when you return from your trip to Ecuador as a youth ambassador, no one at school or on your hockey team sort of asked about it. And as you say, like, you now have some nice newer friends, I guess, that have a bit more of an interest in it, but having gone through a very similar situation myself, I know that's a really tough situation to find yourself in, especially as a teenager when you've got literally so many other things to be worrying about and going on in your life. How did you work through this? How were you able to cope? Like, what was it that you, how did you branch out of your little tiny town, I guess, and find your people?
On my trip to Ecuador, I met my now best friend, Meg. Mm-hmm. She lives in Nova Scotia. She was the other youth ambassador. And I talk to Meg about everything. So if I have something new and exciting, she's the first person I call other than my mom. Yeah. But my mom's usually the one that informs me of the important stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Just meeting so many other people on trips like the Canada-wide Science Fair or Ecuador. I went to New York for a program last summer and I met more like-minded youth, and I have so many different connections. So I have people I can talk to that aren't necessarily there, but virtually. So I can have a phone call or on FaceTime, and it's really awesome that we have technology nowadays to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, just another benefit of social media for sure, right? Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Having so many more connections, you don't have to send a postcard and wait a couple of weeks to have a reply.
Couple of months at this point.
Yeah.
So on that then, let's talk a little bit about the impact social media has had on your project and your life. Because like in your TED Talks and in a lot of the other articles written about you, you say that social media is really the thing that changed it from just being a project board to being something that has managed to influence so many different people in the local community.
Yeah, social media is such an amazing tool. It can do so much good for the world, as well as it can do bad things. But if you use it appropriately, it can spread important messages really quickly. I had a Facebook page as a compromise, actually, because I wanted a Facebook page to share my message, tell my community that the river's not safe to swim in. And my mom said, no, Stella, you're 11. That's not going to happen. So we put up a big sign on our wharf that said this river's contaminated with fecal bacteria. Then we had neighbors, then we had media, people at the door. So then we agreed to have a Facebook page. And through that, we had thousands of people asking questions and more media at the door. And I found that if you keep a very positive message on Facebook, which is what I use, then it seems to spread more and get the message out further. And my mom would always draft my little write-ups, and I would just tear them apart. I'd say, no, Mom, nobody wants to read that. That's so negative. And I think the positivity really, really impacted the spread of these messages, as well as using graphs and images to kind of explain the levels with colors, and then use words like enterococci, but in brackets put poop, yeah, so that it's understandable for anyone and everyone. Which I also think is a huge, huge component.
Yeah, I absolutely love how much you stress the importance of positivity in everything that you do. I think it's so easy to become negative and to become jaded, especially as we do grow older as well. it's just sort of, it seems to be a natural progression for adults to fall into, especially when, you know, so much of the news right now is so quite so negative. So to hear something so positive from, you know, such a bubbly young woman in the community interested in improving the river, then it just makes sense that so many people would be behind you, supporting you.
I used Facebook because that tends to be where your parents would be, or your grandparents, and they're the voters. That's where the older population is. So it had come to me by a few friends or people around who said, do you have Instagram? And I said, no, because my grandparents and your grandparents wouldn't be on Instagram, and they're really the people you want to target to teach about or tell them about this issue, because they're the ones voting for our future. So definitely think that was a good kind of tactic.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that was a stroke of brilliance, I think. Absolutely. And if you have 4,500 of your local community supporting you on Facebook now too, so yeah, I think it's definitely time for a little update, just to let them know how well it's going for you. I also love that you acknowledge so often just the support of your parents as being one of the keys to your success so far. And I'm sure all of the parents and teachers listening to this episode would love and are interested in hearing more about, you know, what sort of support did your parents give you? How do they support you? And how does that feel as you know, their child, knowing that they're there behind you no matter what?
Yeah, my parents have been huge, huge supports in this whole process the last 5 years, for sure. I call my mom my momager, because she deals with everything that may be a little, like all the scheduling. She's the master planner in our house. Nice. So having her was definitely a huge, huge help. And just my parents have been super supportive. If I have to go somewhere, I travel, they'll take time off work to take me, or... Yeah, they've always been there for me, which is very much appreciated.
Yeah, and you're able to go to them with any sort of, if you need help, any sort of request, if you're unsure about anything. But then you're also able to tear apart your mum's, Facebook posts and make it your own too. So it's a nice back and forth, and just knowing that no matter what, they have your best interest at heart is the best sort of support for you.
Yeah, definitely. It's the teamwork component there. And I couldn't drive at 11, 12, 13 years old. I just got my license last month. Congrats. So having parents that were so flexible and being able to make time to drive me around was also very much appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I also like that one of my favorite things reading up on you, and there's a lot of articles and TEDx talks and videos to watch. My favorite quote of yours was, just don't be afraid to ask questions, be annoying and ask as many questions you can think of. Try to find someone who can tell you what the answer is. And if they don't have it, find someone like Dr. Maxwell who can help you find the answers. That's perfect. I love that. Everything about that is amazing. I'm sure you,
you
must have been a fun child to raise.
I think so, maybe.
A challenge, that's for sure. But yeah, as you said, like, be annoying. I think a lot of people are almost scared to express questions or ask questions, especially if they think, oh, maybe like I am being annoying, or maybe this is a dumb question or something. But if you don't ask a question, then you'll never find the answer.
Definitely. There's no such thing as dumb questions. There can be uneducated questions, but there's no dumb questions. So I definitely think the being annoying component to that is really just, if you have a question and you're passionate about it, find someone like Dr. Maxwell or a teacher or a parent or a friend's parent, anybody that can kind of help you move along the chain of process to create change.
Yeah. Are there certain people that you look up to for inspiration? Like, do you have inspiring models or examples of people you want to be when you grow up, for example?
I'm not really sure. Not off the top of my head.
I bet.
I've loved Taylor Swift. Isn't very nice. Environmentally, but I've loved Taylor Swift since I was really young, and her music has definitely helped me along the way.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. You don't have to be exactly the same person as your model, that's for sure. But I'm sure, especially some of the older kids that you met in Ecuador, for example, you know, just knowing sort of like you can still be the same sort of person, you know, in a few years' time. And as you would you say, having those educated conversations with people older than you, that's really cool.
Yeah, having connections with older friends, older peers from around the world it's really helpful if I ever have questions. Mm-hmm. Like, did you go through anything like this? And having them say, yeah, I had the same kind of experience, really kind of eases my mind and helps me along the way.
Yeah, just knowing that you're not in it alone. I think whether it's
The
support of your parents or just knowing that someone else has gone through a similar experience, it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but it's definitely reassuring.
Yeah, definitely.
Helps you know that you're on the right track, I'm sure.
Definitely.
And I guess the next big question for you then is, why do you believe it's important for youth such as yourself to get involved in important issues like this and in their community and in everything else that you hope to teach through your public speaking?
I think it's really important for youth to get involved because it's our future. We're being left with such a huge disaster, so much to take on, so you might as well get a head start while we're young. And we also have the power of social media, which, like, for example, my parents didn't have that when they were younger. But now we have so much. You can post something and it goes out to the world so quickly, and it can create change a lot faster than just having a poster board.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for someone just wanting to get started? How do you just get started? Like, that's the hardest thing, right? It's just getting started. How do you get over that fear and let them know that you do actually have a voice and you can actually make a difference?
Yeah, all questions are valid. And I keep looping back to the point that you need to find a mentor. Mentors help with everything. And if they can't help you with this specific topic, maybe they know somebody else that knows how to answer your question, or maybe they know someone else. And I mean, there's always somebody out there who can definitely help you. So all your questions are valid, no matter what, even if they sound a little silly.
I love that. That's great. So talk to me a little bit about Nova Action and how the initiative is engaging you to take action on environmental issues in their own communities. How is it helping youth in the community?
Yeah, so I'm the youth leader for Nova Action, which is an incredible program. We have 10 youth around the province, and they're all taking on their own causes. We have Christmas tree farming. We have waterway microplastics, almost everything. Yeah. It's so awesome to see these youth really come together and be able to have each other to ask questions or see how their testing's going individually. And we're just in the first year of the 2-year program. So it's the testing and finding results program. Everything's kind of been slowed down with COVID-19 and not being able to get into laboratories and all that. But it's definitely going really well. And they're really, really doing amazing things for their communities.
Nice. And speaking of your community in particular, like, you grew up in quite a small town, right?
Yeah, I'm in a little town called Bridgewater.
So how do you think growing up in a small town has impacted and influenced your experience so far, do you think? Has it made it easier? Has it made it harder?
I'm not sure. I live in a small town where everyone knows pretty much everyone. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that helped in the sense of making connections. When I travel, if I go to Toronto, I'm just in awe of the city, and I really want to live in a city someday. Just having that contrast, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's nice to be able to have that contrast, because a lot of people who grow up in cities aren't ever going to experience what it's like to grow up in a small town. And I'm sure it's harder to make friends, and it's harder to meet, you know, people, just because there aren't as many people, and therefore they can't possibly be as diverse, but it just makes it so much more special when you do travel and you do meet all of these different people, and you're like, oh, like that's what I want, that's who I want to be. Yeah.
Yeah, and it almost makes it more special to be able to travel, to experience that, being in awe so many times rather than living somewhere. There's definitely pros and cons to living in a small community. I can't walk to a corner store or anything, mm-hmm. but there's beautiful, beautiful scenery here. And as much as I want to move away, this is my home and I love it here.
Yeah, I bet. Absolutely. And what is the legacy then that you hope to leave, I guess, through your work and through your life? I know it's a big question for a 16-year-old, but...
That is a big question. Yeah, I hope I inspire more youth for many years to mm-hmm. come to ask questions and take on causes that they believe in, that they're passionate about. And yeah, that's a big question.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's a question that every 16-year-old hates. And don't worry, you definitely do not need to know the answer to it right now. But I guess, what happens next? Like, what's next on Stella's radar?
Well, right now I'm just in high mm-hmm. school, so next would be grade 12, and then after that I'm not really sure where I'm going to end up, what I'll do mm-hmm. next. It's all kind of a mystery. We're in the process right now of kind of narrowing down what I want to do. I don't like math, so probably something other than that. Yeah, I really, really love politics and being able to communicate with others. I love to talk and be personable with people, so... I'm not really sure where that'll end up.
Yeah, and that's totally a fair position to have at someone your age. Trust me, as someone who's almost double your age, it never gets easier. You never truly figure out what it is you want from life, and you'll always be wondering what next. So I think just embrace what you've got right now. You know, definitely take the time to really appreciate just how amazing the work that you have been doing truly is.
Thank
and
you.
I really hope your community does truly value everything you are bringing to them. I think it's pretty fantastic, and I just want to thank you so much for being our second guest on the Why to How podcast. I know I've absolutely loved this conversation, as I'm sure all of our listeners and people watching on YouTube will have as well. You've managed to achieve so much already at 16, and I love your perspective on life and on the impact that you've had.
Thank you.
And truly the impact you hope to have on, you know, the wider community and inspiring youth to get more involved. Good luck with your future endeavors. And I truly do look forward to seeing the day that you're able to cannonball into the Le Havre River. I think that'll be a magical day for everyone, but especially for you.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
No, of course. Thank you all for joining me in this episode of Why to How, a podcast where we explore adventures in STEM. If you liked this podcast, consider leaving us a like on our social media. It's just ysc.sjc on Facebook and Instagram, ysc_sjc on Twitter. Leave us a comment with your favourite part of this interview, and make sure to give your support to the amazing Stella Bowes by following her work at the social media links in the show notes. Please do share a link to the podcast or YouTube video with friends who you think would really love to follow along. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review, as it really does help us reach more people. We'll have another amazing podcast guest for you on the next episode, so stay tuned until then. And have a wonderful day, and stay curious.